If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about dangerous vacations. Anto, you and the boys took a shot at climbing Mount Everest. That does sound dangerous.
Yeah, hey Dave. We're kind of thinking, you know, we travel a lot as a group, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah.
And we've done all the usual things.
Like
Torremolinos, Tuscany, Ibiza, the other Balearic Islands, I can't think of the name of it. Eos as well. A lot of islands, Dave, we've been to.
Mallorca?
No, not those ones. But anyway, we've been to a lot of islands, but we're kind of thinking, what's the opposite of an island? You know what I mean? Because we spent a lot of time in valleys. And we were thinking, that's what we call ourselves, the valley trippers. And we were thinking then, how do we go the opposite of a valley? And that's pointing up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mountain.
So we said Mount Everest, and we said, look, there was flights
I mean, that's starting at the top, though. You know, you've gone straight in there at the biggest in the planet.
I mean, life is full of peaks and troughs and highs and lows, isn't it? So we're kind of thinking, just for the community even, do you know what I mean? And we went over to Mount Everest, and it was a...
Wait, what community?
The community.
Just generally?
Yeah,
okay.
In the community, in your own area.
Oh, yes,
and
yeah.
We're very passionate about our area.
Your community,
there's
yeah.
There's good people in our area, Dave. Yeah. I'm sorry, now.
Were you doing this for the community, in a way?
For the morale, for the community.
Yes, of course. Sorry, yeah.
Anyway, so we just went over there, and it turned out to be, I will say, it was very hazardous.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people die.
They do, and you know what they do with the corpses? They leave them there.
What? They leave them on the mountain?
Yeah, I said to, do you know Joe McGinnis? And he was there, and I says to Joe, there's corpses the length and breadth of this mountain. And he says, I think bloody same. And I said, what are we doing here? Say you get the base camp. Now, half of them are kind of under for the party at this point. Between in the outs and in the others, when we got to the base camp, and there's these little fellas, shepherds they're called. And the shepherds are supposed to bring you up.
Yeah.
And of course, the shepherds want a bomb off you. I don't mean a bomb now, literally. I'm not casting aspersions on them. I'm sure they're very peaceful people. But they cost a bomb to bring you up.
Well, it's dangerous for them, you know?
Yeah, well, I can imagine so. Do you want to see the snow? There's avalanches.
Yeah.
There's, you know, all sorts of things. I think could be haunted up there as well, to be honest. You wouldn't know all them dead people.
Well, there's so many dead people there. It's meant to be.
The corpse is lying there. It's unbelievable.
Well, look, I want to bring on a Sherpa, Mr. Tang.
Hi, Dave. How are you getting on?
How long have you been a Sherpa on Everest?
I've been a Sherpa, the Tang family been Sherpas Everest for... Neon, since Edmund Hillary.
Oh, really?
Since we realized the profit margins.
Okay.
Sending our boys up there with a shitload of shit on their back.
Yeah.
Was so high.
It's big money.
It's big, big
but
money.
But it's risky, though.
Oh, it's risky, but we run up and down there, you know, like we got 7-Elevens up there most people can't see, but only we can see. You know, we're running up and down there for our milk and all that.
So is some of the danger, is it kind of... like hype, is it you're kind of making it seem more dangerous than it is to
no
drive
is,
up the profits.
It is dangerous. You got some goats that'll bite your goddamn hand off or bite your winky off if you're doing a little piddle there, man. Like there's some serious animals.
Goats.
But I'd say that the biggest you know ball ache for us is just some of the amount of stuff we gotta bring up for some guys. Like Anto's crew had like Anto, I'm sorry, I know you obviously we signed a non-disclosure, but these guys had like 4 crates of Galahad these guys were bringing up to the top of Everest. And I'm like, look, you're gonna operate better not on this alcohol.
Yeah.
But we got guys holding on by their fingernails because they got like 90 kilos of Galahad in their goddamn backpacks.
What's Galahad? Is that some kind of lager? Or?
Yeah, you can get it in like Aldi.
Okay.
It would be the sort
Dave,
of booze.
You're very much showing your class here, Dave. You don't even know where the community is. You don't know what Galahad is. That's not here nor there. But no, and I take your point. I take your point, Mr. Tang. I do take your point, and that is heavy. But you have to appreciate, we're on holidays.
Yeah, they're
everybody deserves a break, Mr. Tang.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Anto, the first thing I said is you're going to have the time of your life. You come up here with me, and hopefully you did. I believe you and John McGinnis had a really good time.
Joe, was it?
Joe McGinnis, yeah.
Wow, God, I've embarrassed myself. I was calling him John the whole time. I was like, hold on for dear life, John. And they're like really intimate moments. Yeah, I'm quite embarrassed now.
No, John McGinnis is long dead. God rest him. Now, a lot of God shine upon him, but he would be long dead now. Joe McGinnis was on the trip.
But how many?
He's the vice captain of the Valley Trippers.
Did any of your Valley Trippers not make it back?
Several of them didn't come back there.
Seven?
They're up there. The corpses are up there.
Seven?
Several, I said.
Several. How many?
So I'm feeling very affronted by the way you speak to me, actually, Dave, if you don't mind me saying.
Sorry.
Three of the boys didn't come back.
Three? Well, that's not
There's
quite
There's one fella we're not
several.
Sure. Now, he ended up coming back down the mountain, but we haven't actually seen him since, so I don't know where he is.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that'd be Eddie Joyce. Eddie Joyce isn't back down. So don't worry. I think he's living over. I think he might join the Shepherds. I'm not sure what he's doing.
The Shepherds, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen him? Is he knocking about?
Eddie Joyce. I don't know anyone by that name. We did get a new fella join the Shepherds. Haunted looking guy.
Okay.
Look, I had seen some shit. But I don't know anyone by the
name of Eddie
Joyce.
He wasn't part of.
I couldn't tell you, man, you know, but he didn't look like one of us and he looked pretty haunted. But, you know, that's kind of how we perform most of our crews.
Okay. Well, look, obviously, Anto lost a few friends on this trip. Do you not recommend groups of lads who are normally in valleys and on islands drinking cans of Galahad? Do you not recommend that they take on Everest?
I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here. You know, I don't want to turn anyone away.
So
you know?
Business is business.
Business is business. You
Let
know.
Let me tell you, Dave. These shepherds—they rob the eye out of your head, and they come back for the eyelash. I tell you what—they are—they are money grabbing, money, money, money. This, that.
Well, hang on, now.
They have the can of oxygen. Do you want to see the amount of money for the oxygen? Ridiculous! It's not only bloody air. They charge me through the nose.
Yeah.
I don't even go into it. Goes in the mouth anyway. But whenever.
You don't. Well, you don't have to go up Everest, though, or you don't have to have a Sherpa.
Yeah, but we were trying to think of the opposite way to go over to the valleys. What do you want me to do?
Yeah,
it's up to you.
I'm not going to Kilimanjaro. You think I'm going to Kilimanjaro?
Well, why not go to Kilimanjaro?
I'm not going all the way down there.
Well,
that's a very long flight. I'd be worried about the deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah.
There's a fella in our area. He died deep vein thrombosis. He came back from a flight. A small flight came from Kerry.
Yeah.
On the Air Arran. Deep vein thrombosis, drop dead.
Oh my God.
He dropped dead.
Oh my God.
You're not safe doing that.
No.
All right. Well, listen, Anto, thanks for calling in, telling us about your holiday, and Mr. Tang for phoning in.
You're welcome. Anyone wants to come, we'll carry pretty much anything, but we'd really like to just keep the load at 80 kilos max, please.
Okay. So
we pack on our boys.
A couple of trays of Galahad.
Six pack would be ideal for us.
It's not going to last long.
Yeah. I'll go on. Great.
Okay. All right. I want to bring on our next caller here, Sarah. We're talking about dangerous vacations. Sarah, you went snake bothering on Snake Island in Brazil. Snake bothering, is that like a sport?
Well, it was like a hashtag I saw.
Okay.
So it's online and just looking through the Instagram, and they were like wanderlust kind of couple that I follow.
Yeah.
And they were like saying this thing, snake bothering, which it's like, you know, when you read the hashtag and it has no, there's no spaces and you think it's all one word.
Yeah.
So I thought snake bothering was this whole different thing. But it does involve sort of tapping the heads of cobras and anacondas and things like that.
Yeah. Now, you went to this place, Snake Island, which has lancehead vipers, the world's most venomous species.
Mm.
They're so venomous that they can melt human flesh.
Mm.
And the Brazilian government requires a doctor to be present on legally sanctioned visits. But you just headed over there on your own.
Yeah, well, as I said, I saw like these influencer kind of people I really liked. They were doing it, and I noticed like a sharp uptake in followers after they'd done this make bothering
okay.
thing.
Okay.
And there was it was
trending?
Yeah, it's trending right now, yeah. And,
snake bothering.
Snake
okay.
bothering, yeah. And so they were a couple, but then they, one of the members of the couple got bitten in the hand by one of the melty snakes.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he did pass away.
He did pass away.
But that, she put a post up after that, and huge uptake
right.
of retweets, shares, everything.
Right.
So I came over with my boyfriend.
Yes.
And
now you call him your boyfriend, but I mean, he was more of a friend, wasn't he?
Mm.
That you convinced.
Well, I'd known him. He's my boyfriend. I'd known him a couple of weeks or whatever.
Yeah, he was a guy you convinced. To come, and he didn't really.
Sometimes things move fast.
He didn't realize the danger he was getting himself into with the snakes.
I said, "Do you want to go on an adventure?"
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he said, "Yeah." And so we went to the Snake Island.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What kind of island is it?" And I was like, "Snake Island, but it's more like a Greenland kind of thing where it's,
yeah.
you know,
oh, yes.
not,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Iceland, lots of green, yeah, Greenland, yeah. Iceland." So I was like,
"But it's not. Snake Island's actually like that, so five snakes per square meter. It's, it's riddled with snakes."
But like it's mostly land.
It's more land than snakes.
More land.
That's
than
fair.
Snakes.
Yeah.
So yeah. To be fair,
in that sense, it is like Greenland. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So, what happened to him?
Well, I mean, it's not
Jason.
I
mean, where is Jason now?
Well, look, he's. I mean, at the moment, he's okay. He's sleeping. You know,
in a Brazilian hospital.
Yeah.
With half of his face melted off.
I didn't tell him to pat the snakes, you know.
No, you did. That's the whole, you brought him on the snake bothering trip to bother snakes.
I don't know what you're trying to get at here.
I know it
seems like your line of questioning is very directed towards a certain thing.
I
but,
don't
you know
if this was a great idea, Sarah, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't want him to get bitten, you know, and if that, you know, if that results in a few extra followers or whatever, like that's just what happens in the world. And that's, it was his hand. Do I control his hands like a robot? No,
no, you don't.
He controls his own hands.
Have your followers, has it blown up?
This has been an incredible week for me, or just a crazy week. You know, it's just been insane. The phone has just not stopped buzzing. Obviously you invited me onto your
ups
show.
Ups and I've downs though,
this
right?
This isn't the only media interview I've had. And I'm going. I don't know how long this is actually, but I've got a few.
You've got a few more.
Yeah, yeah. Ireland
like,
AM.
Ups and downs, though. I would say
and,
this week.
And that's what it is. It's been so hard.
Like you're filming Jason in his hospital bed.
And everyone's like, we want more Jason. So I'm going in with the crew, and it's just so hard because the authorities, and this is like a really big deal, but the authorities are not letting us in with our camera crews, and we want to show the truth.
Okay, well, I want to talk to Teddy, our resident snake expert, who comes on anytime we're talking about snakes. Yep. Teddy, what do you think Jason's chances are here? He's lost half his face.
I'm not going to mince words, Dave. Not fucking good, mate.
It's not good, is it?
Oh, wait, hang on. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to talk with my normal voice.
Yeah,
I get quite emotional when
These were lancehead vipers.
These are lancehead vipers, yeah. Mate. Oh my God, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, they are one of the world's most venomous species.
You know, you think snake bothering is not for everyone. It is, you got to be very particular about how you bother the snake, you know. Right.
So this is something you do.
This is something me and my crew do, and we're very careful about
You're
it.
You're a trained professional, though.
But like a rudimentary tap, you know, you're going to aggravate the snake. I prefer, you know, setting an alarm for the snake on your iPhone and then constantly hitting snooze, you know?
What does that do?
Really pisses them off, you know, bothers them more than tapping them on the head.
The iPhone alarms, I find, are particularly grating.
Really jarring, like, you know? And
they don't have any ones that are kind of, like, nice and soothing.
No, they're not.
They
go fucking straight at it, and a snake hears that, and like, I'm going to melt half your face, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of... What I've found on my travels is you need a face. You need a face to get by, you know? And if Jason's going to go hard for one, mate. But there's so many ways you can bother a snake and do it safely, you know? You can, you know, that kind of noise.
Yeah.
That's more safe, you know?
Okay.
Tiddling it, especially the ones who don't want to be tiddled.
That is safer, isn't it?
That is more safe.
Okay.
Then the tap on the head, you put your hand right out there, you know, you're getting close, you're within your hand shot. You know.
I found it very safe. If you're, this is advice, I don't want to step on your turf, but if you're in a couple, two people, and you're nervous doing it, if the other person does it, then you're basically...
You just push them to the front.
If the other person is more comfortable or whatever and they do it, you're in a very safe situation.
Okay, well, that's a good lesson for anyone out there who's considering going snake bothering.
Mm.
Any update on Jason's condition just while we're here, Sarah?
Well, I mean, he...
he's still missing half a face, isn't
he? Yeah, I mean, he's still half the face. But, like, other than that, like, he honestly, there's, like, this light in his eyes. They're closed.
Eye. Yeah.
And it's just, like, when I look at that, that's the guy I know...
Glowing irises, unfortunately, is one of the telltale signs that he is on the way out.
That was also
flaming red eyes.
That was a telltale sign how I knew this was the guy for me, and we're going to get through this. This is a really follow our journey because this is really
a
radioactive toxin.
Yeah,
it's secreting from his
it's
eyes.
It's a radioactive love.
But you have said that you are engaged to Jason now, even though he hasn't been awake to sort of.
He said it to me just before.
Oh, really? Just before the snake bit him.
It was incredible. He just before he kneeled down and then.
And you don't want to kneel down with a snake.
You don't want to kneel down.
It was incredible. And he
kneeled
down.
I feel like he's getting very close to that snake within kneeling shot of the snake.
And then he just said, "Do you want to marry me?" And then the iPhone alarm, which I'd put on his phone, went off. And then he was like, "Will you marry?" Ah! Like that.
Yeah.
"Will you marry?" But I could hear he had said, "Will you marry? Will you marry?" And then, "Ah!"
Yeah.
"Ah! There's a snake on my face! Fuck!"
Did he have a ring or anything?
Can I ask you a question? What did the box look like? Because a snake may confuse an opening box to another Land's Head snake. You know? What did the box resemble?
Sort of like a flat, sort of, one of those flat claspy kind of boxes.
Yeah.
And it sort of, it didn't just, it wasn't one that you kind of pulled up. It actually had a spring action.
Oh, right.
So it snapped open like that. Snapped open.
That sounds
sounds like a business fucking snake off.
Yeah.
Shit.
Okay, well, listen. I hope he wakes up, and I hope you guys do get to get married, and maybe you'd come back share your wedding journey with us.
That would be incredible.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thanks for phoning in. I want to talk to one more dangerous vacation goer. It's Tim. Tim, you went to the Aylwi Caves.
Hello, yes. Yes, myself and my wife, we're retired now. We took a visit to the Aylwi Caves. I don't recall the exact county they're in.
Clare, maybe?
Probably in Clare, yes. And we found it, the whole thing, very slippery. Slippery, slidey, all of those.
Yeah, well...
They hadn't put in any... Well, they had a rope, they had a bar, they had lights, but they didn't tell us, you know, on the way in, this is a cave. That wasn't made clear to us.
Well, it's in the name,
My
Tim.
Wife has a terrible fear of caves. She always has.
Now, it is in the name, Tim, to be fair. The Aylwi Caves. That's
generally... I read it as cavas.
Right, yeah.
I thought it was kind of a modern cafe.
Yeah, that wasn't made clear.
I read it as Aylwi Cavas. Yeah. My wife has a terrible fear of caves, and I want something to be done about this.
Right.
They are operating... Do you where a cave goes under the bloody ground?
It is under the ground. Ridiculous. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a pure scandal. And I think if Sinn Féin get in, they won't do anything about it.
Right.
That's what I know.
Well, I mean, and the current government haven't done anything about it either. To be fair.
But that
just for balance.
Hold on now. That's circular logic. Hold on a minute.
No, I'm just saying for balance.
Look, I've been a member of a party myself. I'm not here in that. I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, who, as I said, has a terrible fear of caves.
Yeah. As a member of the public, a concerned member of the public.
I'm a citizen. I pay tax the same as anybody else.
Yes.
I pay my tax. I worked all my life.
Yeah, of course.
And here I am now, and I'm expected to be on a pension.
Yeah.
You know, then and going in under the ground into rock faces.
Yeah.
And as I said, it was slippery and sliding.
And you thought it was a caves, as you said, which
we expected a caves of, you know, we thought it would be a panini
Portuguese
or whatever, that kind
coffee
of thing.
Shop or something. Yeah. What do you think they could do to better signpost that it is a cave that you're going into, short of...
if they were to put on it, Aylwi Caves, this is a cave.
Yes, yeah.
It needs to be made clear.
Yeah.
This is a cave, that kind of thing. Cave here, cave entrance, that sort of thing.
You are now going under the ground.
Under the ground. I mean, as I said, I can't remember what county it's in, so I'm not entirely sure the particular topography of the cave itself, but...
Well, I think it's not like you're going, you know, straight down underground, but I do think it veers, it slopes gently.
There'd be an element of being under the ground, but the point is that you cannot, who is operating this? Is this OPW or data? I've tasked with them before, let me tell you, and I will not rest until the OPW is closed. That's a separate topic, I'm not here to talk about.
Well, no, I mean, it's all relevant because the OPW are in charge. How have you fallen out with them before?
The art collection. The art collection.
Which art collection?
It's obscene. The OPW's art collection is obscene.
Okay.
Breasts. Big breasts.
Yeah.
With, I mean, look, I'm a married man. I've seen breasts.
Sure.
But I saw one painting in a public office. It's actually private, the reason I was there, if you don't mind. But I was in a public office and the breast, the areola.
Right.
I think I've made my point.
Yeah. In this was in an office. This was in a place of work. It wasn't in a gallery or
a state building.
State building.
State
yeah.
building. I was in to conduct business.
Now, some people would say that a lot of art, you know, has nudity in it, and it's not. There's nothing wrong with that. We shouldn't be ashamed of bodies and.
Well, what would you think if you went in down the National Gallery? If you went in Merrion Square and there was every bloody room. Areolas.
Well, there is a lot in
penises,
in,
Dave.
In the National Gallery. Yeah, statues, you know, Greek statues and stuff.
The Greeks, it's, you know what I don't mind is the Romans.
You don't mind the Romans?
Well, the penises in the Romans would be quite small by comparison to other ones. So that
right.
would be...
That's not as...
There's a sense of comfort there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you find women's breasts uncomfortable?
Well, they certainly look uncomfortable. I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't know how to manage having two big lumps hanging out of me the whole yeah. day and night trying to go through my business. I worked with yeah. my hands, David, you see. That would be yeah. in the way the whole time.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that.
Well, look, I want to bring on Nigel from the OPW. You've got a lot to answer for with this cave and these paintings. What do you have to say yeah. about this, Nigel?
Listen, I don't know what he's talking about, to be honest. Like, it's a cave. It's like, as you're walking into the hole, surely you fucking know it's a cave, mate. Like, what are you walking down going... I'm going into some weird cafe or something like
what? Well, that's exactly what he does.
This is the attitude you face. This is yeah. This is what you get. This is the tone of the OPW that you get all the time. The OPW is some kind of, I don't know who's running it, some kind of cool dude organization it is now. So rock music, Biff Bang Wallop, all the rest of it.
Listen, like the OPW, we really tried to shake off that old sort of like foggy, you know, old fashioned kind of thing. We're trying to rock things up a bit. That's why we made the Slippery Cave, because we thought it'd be a fun experience for the whole family.
Oh, and it's you not made like it deliberately slippy.
Well, look, I mean, the cave's always been slippery, right? The walls are kind of like slippery. Yeah. Caves are slippery.
Are you deliberately making
people
it?
People like the slip, so we're just like, why not make it a bit more slippery, bit of fairy liquid in the morning, and it makes it, it's a real great fun. Everybody likes it.
Well, it doesn't go down well with Tim. That's the thing, you know. And
all right, like the lad who doesn't know he's going underground or something. It was this guy.
Look,
has a terrible fear of caves. Caves, yeah. she has no problem with.
Yeah.
But it's a cave, you cannot, in good conscience, run operation. You know what you find at the bottom of a cave? The fiery embers of hell. Lucifer himself could be below an LB cave, Caves.
That's where you're heading.
Can I just say there's... At the bottom of our cave, there's a very fun playground and a small little playpen for the kids. There is there's no flames, there's no nothing like right. that. So this is a total misrepresentation of the Caves. I mean, the cave.
Yeah,
sorry.
Can you accept that it's not clear to people maybe that they're coming in, that it is a cave, that maybe you could put a little sign underneath that says, Aoi Caves, this is a cave?
I put that to you. Can you say that the cave is made clear to be a cave?
It's a suggestion, but it's
listen,
a good.
Listen, we had an event
one.
Last week, Raven yeah. the Cave, and there was over 200 people coming into that cave. We had like it was incredible. We had music, we
is
had
that
parties,
safe?
We had energy, we had drugs, we had people having a great time, and it was unbelievable. None of them walked into it thinking this was a cafe. They didn't think it was Raven the Cafe. Like, what would you be, you know? Paninis, throwing paninis around, raving the cafe. No one would do that. You know, they knew what they were going into. I'm not putting that in my sign.
But that doesn't sound safe now, a rave in a cave. I mean, it rhymes, so that's good in terms of marketing or whatever.
Yeah.
But is it safe with all the fairy liquid sloshing around on the ground? I mean, how many people were injured at that rave?
Listen, if you're interested, there's two promo tickets for you next week if you want to come to
oh,
Raven
really?
The Cave. Yeah. Oh, all right, you come and you find out.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, if you and your wife want to get off your old arses and come into the Raven the Cave, you're welcome too.
Well, okay? That's a nice offer, Tim. Is it like a gesture?
Well, I do appreciate the gesture. I'm not, you know. But look, we won't be going.
Well, I want to bring on your wife to see what she says. I can't remember if we got your name there.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Mrs. Tim.
No, you didn't.
What's your name?
Breach.
Breach, hold on. I can hear myself now. Hold on a second. I'll move into the back room.
I'm getting an echo now.
Hold on. Dave, should I move into the back room?
I'm getting an echo.
Hold on now. Yeah. Hold on. This fucking door. Hold on now.
We need to move. We need to move the telephone seat.
Hold on. Are you okay now? You're right now.
I'm all right. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. This is I'm on the phone. Go on, Breach.
Well, I have to say, Dave, I actually disagree with my husband, Tim. I had the time of my life in Aloe Caves.
Oh.
When I slid down that cave, I literally said, Aloe, and I landed in the ball pit.
In the ball pit at the bottom.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I have to say, all the big dangling breasts that were in there, I thought it was bloody brilliant. Mm. All the stalactites and everything that was hanging there. I had the absolute time of my life.
Do you see what this has done? Do you see what this has done?
It's actually been a bit of an awakening for me.
This warms our hearts. That warms our hearts to hear that. And Breed, I'm really, really, really happy to hear that. if you were next to me now, I would fist pump you.
What's that? Sorry, it's a youthful term.
It just means like.
Oh no!
Handshake.
I'm scared again. I'm going to go back inside.
There'd be no man raise a fist to my wife. Breed was never a woman of this nature. Never.
Are you saying the AOE caves have corrupted your wife?
Well, I didn't want to go into all this. Now, Breed is entitled to make her own phone calls to whoever she wants. But she has become a common whore since we went into that cave.
Really?
A brazen whore.
And I've never felt better. I've been eating microchips. I've been eating, you know, the McCain microchips.
Yes, yeah,
not
yeah.
like computers. That would still scare me. That would still scare
eating
me.
Eating microchips.
I'm eating microchips. I'm drinking Coke Zero for the first time. I'm going into public offices looking at all the tits everywhere. I'm having an amazing time.
I came home the other night, Tuesday night. I'm on a committee, so I'm out Tuesday evenings. I came in Tuesday evening, and she was watching Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. In a film, what can only be described as a big orgy of. Have you seen that man's penis?
X-Men.
It was X-Men First Class, Dave, yes.
It's an art film, you know. There's bodies, and we need to explore our bodies. I don't know what you're so uptight about, man. Looking at the Roman statues.
I'm not uptight. I'm just saying there's a level of decency should be maintained in terms of the size of the.
Would you consider, Breed, going to the rave in the cave and maybe seeing if you can convince Tim to come along and give the AOE caves another chance now that you know it's a cave?
Tim, hon, I love your penis. I love it. I think it's the perfect size. And I think we should both go take off all our kit. Dance the night away with the stalactites and the stalagmites and have a great time. I think you could really turn you around, hon.
Well,
ever since Ronan's gone.
The thing is, what would Ronan have thought of us?
Just since he's been gone, you haven't been the same.
Ronan lived with us for a long time and Ronan and I were very close.
Okay.
It was Breed's brother, Ronan, and...
Okay.
Ronan and I were very close.
Sure.
And
what happened to Ronan?
Well, he just moved to Baldoyle.
Okay.
A bit further away.
Yeah.
It was between places. There was a delayed mortgage. The other person was a cash buyer, so they didn't wait. But Ronan and I were very close. And I, there's a certain companionship. Just normal things. But
normal things. But I really think that going to this rave in the cave will turn everything around.
Listen, Dave, we have spare tickets. I think we've managed to up the capacity from 200 to 250. So if Ronan wants to come to the rave in the cave.
The way he's flogging this now makes it sound like it's not actually a very successful event. If he's just throwing these tickets around, you know, like when there's a comedy gig and there's a competition. It hasn't sold very
well. No, it's great. And, look, it's almost sold out.
It's almost sold out.
But there are tickets there for you guys to buy. But you're getting them for free. And anyone who's listening, the Raven the Cave, it's great. We got, as I said, fairy liquid on the walls of the cave, and then a little ball pit at the bottom, and some
kind of like a foam party.
Well, there's no actual foam, but yeah, it's kind of like a foam party.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Tim,
if Ronan wants to come as well, he's welcome.
Tim, oh, an extra ticket for Ronan. Would that swing things for you, Tim?
If Tim would like that.
Maybe Imelda might be free as well. Everyone, if you want to invite Imelda.
I'll invite Imelda, yeah.
Is there four tickets available? Plus the two for me, obviously.
What kind of person is this Imelda chick? Is she kind of, what kind of vibe is she?
You'll know her when you see her.
All right, well, you know.
So you can put that down in my name.
Just Tim McGowan by four.
Yeah. Okay. That's the easiest thing. And Dave Coffey.
Do I have to give you the email?
I have your original email from the original book.
And it's Dave Coffey plus one.
Dave Coffey plus one? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And that'll get me on the iPad?
That you can do that on teletext on iPad.
The iPad now.
I'll show you. I'll show you.
Okay, great.
I can work
all
the bloody iPad. Sorry, Dave.
But no, I can work
the iPad.
I'll see you guys at the Rave in the Caves.
Halloween!
Yeah, Halloween! As I'm sure you know by now, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
I Know the Face is a movie podcast on the Headstuff Podcast Network, hosted by me, Stephen Porzio.
And me, Andrew Carroll. Our show is all about character actors, the type of performers you'll see pop up in supporting roles in blockbusters, the type of people you know the faces but not the names.
Each episode we pick one particular character actor and discuss a couple of their movies, shining a light on the performer's career while giving listeners plenty of movie recommendations. So the show is a must for cinema lovers.
Subscribe to I Know That Face wherever you get podcasts and follow us on Twitter at IKnowThatFacePone.
Hello, do you want to support this podcast? If so, please tell some friends about it or post about it on social media. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially through Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll get access to a heap of bonus content from every single show on the Headstuff Network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which are released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in studio today is Evan Knowles, who says that he died and visited the afterlife, and he reckons we're all in for a big surprise. yeah. Evan, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dave. Oh, what a day to be alive. It's so good. I'm just good.
Yeah.
So grateful to be alive after what happened.
How did you die?
Was I even alive beforehand, Dave? That's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
I get you. Yeah, it's been like a reawakening for you, just coming back from the dead.
Just coming back, just, but to be specific, was kicked in the head by a horse.
You were kicked in the head by a horse?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Or,
well, you know, they say, you know, like, don't go behind the horse.
Yeah.
You know, they say that?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Behind the horse, yeah.
I did, and, you know.
And that was it.
And that was it. Most annoying thing is I don't even remember going behind a horse, so I couldn't even tell you what it looked like. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't even worth it.
Do you remember having...
Seeing the front of the horse,
yeah,
the side of the horse, and then I don't remember anything.
Do you remember having the intention to go to the back of the horse?
I was trying to see the back of the horse. I remember wanting just to be like, what's he going to fucking do?
Yeah, so you were clown. Aware that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And you said, no, I think I'll be okay.
I kind of, look, I do some like taekwondo and I kind of, I pride myself in my reaction times.
Yeah, reflexes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, is this horse fast.
You're a rock. Okay.
Yeah.
So you died. Now, you went to the afterlife. What was it like?
Oh, it had everything. It had chili cheese bites. It had, you know, a Disney store.
Okay.
You know, it had a Lego store. It had, you know, it had a Massimo Dutti.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So is this then, is this like heaven what you saw?
It was amazing. It was kind of a pedestrianized street. And it was just stunning. There was a Marks and Spencer's there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I could just take whatever I wanted, you know, and, you know, you could just fill your pockets, you know, and everyone, it's not real, you know, so people are kind of like, you know, what are you doing? You know, what, you know, don't be taking that, you know, these meal deals from Marks and Spencer's, but I'm like, this is heaven, you know. So,
wait, now, are you sure you weren't just on a street? Like a normal street and just walking around?
No, because I was getting a lot of attention, you know, and I'm a real attention seeker. Everyone's looking at me, you know, and I'm like, you know, and just really excited. And no, I'm pretty sure it was heaven. You know, I literally got to have my fill full of, you know, Marks and Spencer's meal deals. And, you know, I went to skip the queue to the Lego store, went in, just started playing with Star Wars
and
toys.
And people were okay with that. There was no...
They were looking at me, but it wasn't real. You know, it was my idea of heaven, you know,
right.
And it was, and it was perfect. So, I mean, I suppose the real kicker here is just that maybe it might not be everyone's,
right.
Thing of heaven,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem for some people, I suppose, who don't love Lego. And Marks and Spencer's isn't their favorite.
Maybe
food.
It's not their favorite thing in the whole world, you know. And Jesus was there. Jesus Christ was there.
Okay, what was he doing?
He was wearing a kind of high-vis jacket. And he had a kind of looked like kind of a captain's hat, kind of a navy blue captain's hat, and he had his kind of hands in at his chest on the kind of the high viz.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You need to be figuring this shit out now. Like, what's your issue here? Like, you can't just be coming in here." You know, just
he seemed kind of angry at
you? He was pretty angry at me, you know.
That's weird.
You know, and he's not the kind of Jesus that you would expect. You know, he didn't have the long hair, cliche, kind of clean-shaven, kind of cork man, tall cork man.
Yeah.
How
did you know he was Jesus?
Do you know, he just had this sense of authority about him.
Yeah.
That I was like, I really should do what this guy's telling me, you know. Okay. And it wasn't that love each other. It was more like just, I will take you up the station. Heaven. Yeah, you know, maybe there's another part of heaven that I wasn't familiar with, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of souls, a lot of very unhappy people there.
Okay.
I found. Yeah.
Well, I want to bring on your wife, Evan. Sandra. Sandra says that you think your marriage is over because you only agreed to marry him till death do us part.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, you know, we are torn. I didn't practice, but I trained as a solicitor. I studied law, and was particularly interested in contract law. And as far as I'm concerned, the vow's taken. Myself and my husband,
Evan,
which is what his name is. Mm-hmm. We were to be married until death do us part. We did part. He did die.
Yeah,
and I've other interests. So
interests in what sense?
Oh, you know, exploratory things, sexually.
Okay.
Wow.
Things would have been considered devious, you know, when we were growing up, but are now, seem to be all to play for now. Seems to be anybody's game, whatever you want to do.
And you weren't
into anything now. And,
you weren't getting
put your
that.
Face right into things. No, whatever.
You weren't getting that from Evan.
No, look, we had a normal...
vanilla kind of...
This is crazy.
Pedestrian...
Evan, I told you, we've been through this a number of times. I wanted to be bashed around the place a bit, or shoved down the stairs, or spat in the face, that kind of thing. That was always kind of my thing, and Evan was much more, you know, after the Late Late Show or whatever, you might, for a while.
But just
There was a lot of kind of... navigating who was going to top who, you know. There was a lot of kind of our heads kind of propped up kissing for a long time. And then it was kind of like,
point is, I'm not paying for this, you know. I'm entitled to everything that he had. I'm entitled to the, you know, the pension, all the rest of it, and the lump sum, everything. I'm entitled that
dead is dead as far as you're concerned. So you should get the house, you should have your mortgage cleared, all that kind of stuff.
Look, there's no precedent for this. I'm no fool. But I just think, you know, there needs to be something set in place. I'm not sure who's responsible for it, but this man's born again. And I don't mean born again like
I've never been happier to be back.
Yeah.
You know?
How long were you dead for, Evan?
I mean, it felt like an eternity, but, you know, legally dead, I think I was legally dead for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
45 minutes proper dead.
And you were like gone. Dead. You disappeared out of the hospital.
Yeah, we were there.
Your body did.
My body did, and my soul with it.
Do you think that's something to do with the fact that you came back? Was the fact that your body and soul was gone
kind of
for 45 minutes.
Kind of a reverse assumption, you know?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
And then they spat you back out.
Spat me back out.
And you came through the doors of the hospital a little bit confused, but
dead.
You were back to life.
But definitely dead.
You had been dead.
I had been dead, definitely. Yeah. That's weird. That is very interesting. Yeah. I think so. But what I find interesting, honey, is there was a lot of talk about, you were like, are we definitely doing this till death? And that was before we went to Airfield Estate to have a look at the horses. And you were very specific, you know, like, and this is death to us part. And you did clarify that.
And did you agree to it?
And I did agree to it. But now, someone's come back to me now. Was it? Remember you were saying, what does that horse's back legs look like?
Well, I would have said hindquarters.
Ah!
But yes, I did want you to have a look. I mean, I thought everyone should see that. I grew up in a farming background. Animals, I've seen them all, front, back, sideways. Hindquarters is something to behold, certainly. To be honest, a bit arousing.
They're powerful animals.
Sexual.
Yeah.
Sexual. Let me tell you this. There's a student living next door to us. There's digs next door to us. The man died. The house is in digs since. And let me tell you, that young fella rode me in a way I've never experienced in my life.
Rode you?
David.
This was after Evan passed.
Saddle up, I said. Saddle up. I tell you. The stamina. The stamina.
See, you left the farm. I was dead for 45 minutes. It's a half an hour commute to the farm.
My husband had died. I didn't know if I was coming or going. Turned out I was coming.
Hey. Now listen, this is the theological aspect to this, you know, whether or not because of your death that the marriage is annulled. So I want to bring on Ireland's youngest priest, Father Iggy Doyle.
Yeah.
Iggy, thanks for coming back on the show. Obviously, mm-hmm. anytime we've got any kind of theological issues, you love coming on. What's the deal here? Is Sandra in the right? The death to his part, he died. So he met the high vis Jesus.
Yeah, I think. He's died.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you go?
Oh, you weren't listening, Iggy, no?
No, sorry.
That's okay.
Playdates was on. So.
Oh, yeah.
So he died. He died.
Iggy. He went.
He was horsey.
Iggy, sweetie, I went to heaven.
He went to horsey. It was like heaven if heaven was like. Just like a street in I suppose like a capital city.
Capital city, lots
of shops and Marks and Spencers.
Okay. So.
And I came back.
Okay, that's good. So my mom says I can't talk on the phone by myself. So.
Okay, is she there?
She's here.
Okay.
Okay. But.
Go on, love. Just give them your opinion. Give your opinion. Go on, your grand.
God says in a Pharisee's. 51b. So heaven is just like a shopping mall. So I think he's probably went to heaven and he died.
Wow. Okay.
Was it a big horse?
It was one of the biggest horses I've ever seen, buddy.
Remember we saw the horses in Killarney.
What noise is a horse making?
I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm so full on life right now.
Iggy, it's great to have you back on again. You always illuminate us on these issues, these important.
No problem, Dave. Dave, Dave. My mom says you gotta come around again.
Okay.
To do the thing with my mom.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's no problem.
Wrestling with my mom, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You can go on another play date with your friend. Jimmy.
Okay, pee my pants, Dave. I gotta go.
Okay, we'll let you go, Iggy. Thanks for coming on. So, Sandra, that's fairly conclusive. It seems like you're in the right.
Can't be mad at you, Sandra.
You're entitled to everything.
I don't care what he thinks of me, to be honest. I don't care. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. I don't know how. I'll give you a bit of startup money, get yourself going. But
so the insurance company has cashed in everything for you, have they?
Oh yeah, that was all a very fast turnaround.
Yeah, you got them. You got
famously insurance companies love to pay out, as everyone knows.
You got the death certificates.
I got those drawn up. Yeah,
them drawn up actually in advance.
Well, yes, I mean
in case
everyone does that. You do your will, you get the death certificate drawn up. You know what I mean?
Go straight to the farm.
Particularly if you're
heading out to airfield to have a look at the horses.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, it's bad news for you, Evan, but I suppose on the upside, you know, you did get to meet Jesus.
Got to meet Jesus. I got to have some...
He's a man from Cork.
Very mediocre chicken tikka rolls.
are you talking about Marks and Sparks?
Yeah, it wasn't great. A bit dry and a grab bag of Walkers.
You want to heat those up. You don't want to eat them just out of the...
You'd swear if it was Evan that it would be already hot.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, actually. Why weren't they hot if it was heaven?
It's all coming back to me.
What?
Sorry, I didn't. I just went to Grafton Street.
You just went to...
I just went to Grafton Street.
You just wandered out of the hospital then.
Sandra, didn't I? I went to Grafton Street.
Oh, Sandra, you didn't die at all. He was just wandering down Grafton Street, probably days from the horse.
Yeah, with a big horseshoe on my head.
Imprint
on my head.
So that was that not Jesus then?
Do you know what? It must have been some fucking culty guard.
Well, that is a turn up for the books. Sandra, you'll have to give all that money back, I'd say.
I should bring the lad from Diggs in anyway. We'll have a look at him.
Oh, you'd want to see the hindquarters on him, that's for sure.
I love you, baby.
Well,
But look, it sounds like you're moving on to a new phase of your marriage, happily together, exploring new things, Sandra.
Phil, that's what I want is Phil.
More respectful sex is what we both want.
Degradation.
Mm. Eye contact.
Okay, great. Great. Best of luck to both of you.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank young hot guys, Killian Sunderman, Shane Daniel Byrne, and Tony Cantwell. Lads, you've got anything you want to plug, Killian?
Yeah, Popcorn Boys Podcast with
Popcorn
a Z.
Popcorn Boys.
Yeah. It's a film podcast that me and my friend Mark do.
Deadly.
And then nothing else. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
On, I think it's December 2nd, I'm going to be, this is Tony Campbell speaking, in the Omniplex, talking over the movie Home Alone 2, and there's tickets available for that in Omniplex in Rathmines.
But way better than both of those things, this is Shane Lennon-Byrne speaking, by the way, on December 3rd in Liberty Hall Theatre, there are still tickets left. Me and Peter McGann, a friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Yep. Are throwing an Xmas party, and we'll have the two of us doing bits, and then also Emma Doran, Mr. Killian Sunderman will be there, Shane Clifford, Ali Fox, John Spillane, Ryan Carrick, Din Hagen Elevator, what's giving them? Did I say them all?
Don't worry.
And Amy Gallagher as well. Amy Gallagher. Right. Right. So it's going to be a great night. Tickets are on
Ticketmaster.
Sounds great.
Good for you.
Well, I didn't know you were available. Certainly, you're working on the 2nd. Okay, what's on the 3rd? I mean, that's 3rd of December, and it's definitely the best of the things that we plugged today.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thank you to the Heads of Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Phoning it in.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.